the Indianapolis Star is raising some red flags about the booming industry of pet medications. In a three-part series, the newspaper found an industry that produces drugs with higher risk of unforeseen side effects than the human drug industry, and one that sometimes pays veterinarians to prescribe drugs. Indianapolis Star investigative reporter John Russell joins us from the NPR station WFYI in Indianapolis. And John, you tell the story of Sesame, a dog that its owner says was perfectly healthy until it went on a flea and heartworm drug called Trifexis. And within days, the dog had a seizure and collapsed?
Yes. And the thing about this dog was its owner is a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, an MD, who went through this long process of trying to figure out what killed his dog. Was it any kind of food problem? Was it any kind of behavioral problem, a gastrointestinal issue? And he ruled these things out one by one and basically gave up trying to figure out what killed his big, healthy dog until he ran across a group on the internet which had been posting about similar problems all over the country involving other dogs that had taken the same medication. And from there, he saw a pattern which he believed pointed to Trifexis being the cause of the dog's demise. So that's the story we focused in on to get a window into the pet medication industry. It's a $7 billion industry that we found out was very much underregulated compared to the world of human medicines. Veterinarians are a key player. They prescribe, not only prescribe, but they sell the medications, unlike most physicians, for human drugs. And if your dog or cat dies as a result of a drug or as a result of malpractice or abuse or neglect, you're not going to get anything out of it because the laws in most states say the dog's worth is only replacement value, which is $50 or $100.
Well, and of course, for dog owners, it's you can't put a price on it. Look, what does Elanco, the maker of Trifexis, say?
Yes, they're pretty insistent that Trifexis is completely safe. They said it's been thoroughly tested. It's been on the market and sold 70 million doses through 15,000 vets all around the country, and that the rate of deaths is extremely low. So they're standing by the drug. The FDA is saying that they've got no reason to believe that there's a problem with this drug, although they won't confirm if they've got a big investigation going.
But what did you find out about, you know, what to believe? Because you presume that medications, whether they're for animals or humans, are thoroughly vetted and tested. When you say that meds for pets are not tested as highly as meds for humans are, what do you mean? I mean, how are they tested?
A normal human drug, experimental drug that's going through testing, is often tested on 5,000 to 10,000 people from beginning to end over a course of, it could be a decade for the whole development of the drug. Animal drugs are tested only on usually 200 or 300 cats or dogs, and they're often launched in a very quick time, 5 or 6 years compared to 10 or 12 years it can take for a new human drug to be developed.
Well, but who oversees this? In other words, you've done this reporting. This particular drug maker feels that their drug is safe, but who steps in and says, maybe we should change the way we test medications for animals? I mean, who's in charge?
Well, it would be Congress and the FDA who lay out the rules of the game of how drugs are tested and monitored, how they're sold, and whether or not they are ever withdrawn. The FDA lacks any kind of mandatory authority to recall an unsafe or even a safe drug from the market. It can only issue a warning to the public and to the company and ask them to withdraw a drug.
Yeah, well, this all comes at a time when the approval process for human drugs is slowing down somewhat. Are you seeing drug makers turn to pet meds because of that, and because there's money in it? We see the ads. Everybody knows how much Americans are loving their animals more and more.
That's true. And those are a couple of good points you raise. Yes, Lilly has been in mostly the human side for its 136 years. They've lost patents on three big drugs. They've gone through numerous stages of layoffs. Less than 10 years ago, they started getting into pet medicines. They saw this as an area with lots of promise, with much quicker turnaround, cheaper development costs, and the pressure is on them. And they've made no secret that they want to launch several new pet drugs to help the company get over this rough spot.
Yeah. Well, and then you also talk about the relationship between veterinarians, some veterinarians, and these drug companies. the same questions are raised about human doctors, are who's being paid, you know, to tout, or maybe not being paid, but taken out to dinner quite a bit, you know, to tout a certain medication. You find that relationship in some places in the animal world.
The difference is that you can find out if your doctor is getting money from a drug company. Every drug maker is now required to report every dollar they pay to a doctor for research, for speaking fees, for continuing education. There's no similar requirement for veterinarians, and we've asked almost every major drug company to provide us a list. They say we don't have to, we're not going to.
Look, we all know that there are also veterinarians who are angels, who have helped many of us at very difficult times. But what you're describing is very troubling. You've been reporting for 30 years. Your sense of this story, you seem to have pulled a thread here. Your sense of this story.
I covered the human side of medicine for 5 years. It just boggled my mind how much secrecy there was, how little the experts out there, when I would talk to them, seemed to know about this world. This industry flies much lower under the radar.
Well, your first line of part one of your three-part series is, Harry, Sesame, Ramsey, Colby, Rocky, and Peaches have something in common. All of these beloved pets were prescribed a new chewable flea and heartworm medicine, and now they're all dead. What are people saying to you, and what would you say to pet owners who are now saying, well, what should I do?
Yes, that's a good question, because I've gotten that question much. What medicine should I take? Is Trifexis dangerous or is it safe? And I can't give an answer. I think the point of our series was there needs to be a lot more openness, a lot more transparency, a lot less shadows about who's getting the money, about how many dogs are being tested. So I can't really say that the drug is safe or what one people should take. All I can say is make the system a lot more accessible and open.
John Russell, investigative reporter for the Indianapolis Star. We'll link you to his reporting at hereandnow.org. John, thank you.
Thanks a million.